It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and you don't need to do it with me neither. You do it all by your lonesome, by yourself. This is how you do it. Here we go. You go, I declare my independence. See that? And you didn't even need a government form. See how easy that was? Oh, no parchment on hemp, you know, no quills, no nothing. You just do it. It's in your head, the revolution between the ears. And one of the things that was born out of the Ron Paul revolution, and I want to make sure that this is clear, and we'll talk about this a little bit today. I want to make this point. I got a call this morning from a gentleman in Wisconsin, and he said, hey, I saw you on For Liberty, the movie about the documentary about Ron Paul. And, there's November 5th. They're picking as a day. Everybody's going to hit the streets, and they're going to do this big Ron Paul revolution wave again. It's going to start. Now, that's the Friday before the Tuesday's election. And I go, November 5th, right? I go, yep. They do that, and somebody's going to notice something. But, you know, has the revolution got locked in with Dr. Paul so much that it's his? It never really was. It was like he was endorsed by the revolution. What was the revolution? It was a message. It was a message that was endorsed by the people. It means whatever they say it means. And from that, there was a philosophy that was born out of young people that got to see government up close and personal. And they said, oh, this whole legitimacy thing of them doing whatever, next. What's next? I don't know, but next, okay? Well, there's a lot of people that are advocating for a voluntarist society. I mean, that's kind of why it's declare your independence. From what? I don't know, from bad guys. How do you know who the bad guys are? Well, I don't know. Thomas Jefferson said it pretty good. He goes, look, the only reason you have a government is to defend individual rights. If they're not doing that, they're bad guys. See how simple that is? Didn't say what kind of government. Just, you know, one, if you're going to have one, they're the good guys not taking your stuff and killing other people in your name and spending your money and taking from future generations and indebting and keeping you from doing whatever it is you want to do as long as you're not bothering anybody. You know, they're doing that. Bad guys. Bad, 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 bad. So what do we get? We get a whole new crop of young people that are representing themselves. They're going out and saying, look, I'm not advocating for changing the kind of ring it is, or, you know, let's get some new guys behind, you know, the lever of power. It's the lever. It's the lever. It's the ring that is the problem. One ring to bind them all. And they're going, yeah, let's do away with the rings. Well, we just had on last hour, Adrian Pine talking about Honduras. You have 7 million people in that country. 1.3 million of them gave their fingerprint, their thumbprint, their voter ID numbers, and to do a petition saying, yeah, we're not afraid. You know why government's afraid? Because we're not afraid of them. And they're going, putting their name on a list. Well, you know they're going to like this list. Well, what does the government do? Water cannon and firing in and killing people and shutting down peaceful concerts in support of freedom. They have them going in and tear gassing radio stations. You have them going and laying waste to people trying to control the internet. What the people will not be controlled. And the more they do it, the worse it gets. Well, we're kind of going through that here and advocating for a peaceful, nonviolent society. A whole group of people, and one of their representations is in the form of LibertyOnTour.com. LibertyOnTour.com, Pete Iyer and Adam Miller here in studio. Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, Ernie, thanks for having us.
You know, this is one thing. You got to tell me, give me some of your history here. We got it like 5 minutes before the break, and I want to make sure we get it, you know, real quick. Tell me, you guys came from where? Pete, What got you in the movement, man?
For me, it was the drug war, drug prohibition. I was going to school for law enforcement, got turned off from it. You know, I did internship with St. Paul Police, did a lot of ride-alongs. I just saw a lot of saw policing as more reactionary than proactive, and a gross misallocation of resources, not to mention violation of individual rights. So decided against going that route. Fortunate to get accepted at the Cato Institute as an intern, so I jumped at that opportunity, didn't know anyone in D.C., moved out there, and from there I was fortunate to continue to be involved with the libertarian movement, like in the think tank world, for about 4 years or so, and then just thought I could have a bigger impact on the outside, so quit where I was and hit the road with a project called Motorhome Diaries, which was myself and another guy, Jason Talley, at the time, and then my present colleague, Adam Miller, joined us about a week or two in. And has been with us ever since. So,
well, you know, this is a little personal note. I hopefully this isn't secret, but on your left bulging your shoulder, okay, is how you party, man. You know, my daughter brings that up. You know, you hit the weights, man. Well, he's got this nice big shoulder, and it has what on it? Had an American flag. Well, it's kind of covered up now, but what did the American flag say before?
Well, yeah, this is the second tattoo I had when I was 18. It said it had American flag, and then on the top it said love it, and then the bottom it said or leave it. So it said love it or leave it. And at the time, you know, it was, you know, I thought, oh, America's great, and we need to fix all these problems, and people just need to unite behind, and we can figure all these things out. And then, you know, essentially from my involvement with the college libertarians and you know, self-education and time in D.C., I did, you know, what I call taking my views to the logical conclusions, and I now think every good or service could better be provided through voluntary interaction. So what's now covering up the words and over the American flag is a big anarchy symbol. So it's a conversation piece, because a lot of folks are like, hey, what's that about? So I explain, like, where I've been, where I'm at now, and hopefully they can identify with me somewhere along that journey and say, hey, maybe I'll look into that myself.
You know, you're an educated, smart, well-traveled, been through the system, Washington, D.C. kind of guy. And for you to come to this conclusion, you know, I wouldn't think that it was, I don't know, a short-term epiphany, reactionary kind of something. I mean, it's kind of grown on you, it seems like.
Sure, yeah, definitely. I mean, I never had an econ class in high school or college, and when I first was started studying economics more and some of the concepts, especially Austrian economics, that really, I think, took me to where I'm at today and really helped paint a good picture for, you know, the fact that government doesn't need to exist, you know, a course of monopoly providing these things. They do a bad job, and they harm people in the process.
Well, that's kind of what you've been showing. Yeah, Adam's, you know, been a good example of that. On your trip, you guys have started in New York, Philadelphia, New Hampshire, whatever. You were up in the Northeast.
New Hampshire.
And you started traveling along, and you're always having, you know, it's Denver, and they're arresting because you're at a Broncos game, tailgating, just having fun, passing out stuff. And they go, ID. ID, you videotape and stop the video camera. Nope, I'm videotaping for my protection, and I don't need to give you an ID. Well, I can guarantee, man, it's down on the ground, man. You know, that's how it goes. And then you go to San Diego, you have whatever problems there. And then you go to Las Vegas. Ooh, you spent some time in the Huascal there last few days. So this, before we get to the details on that, because we're running short on this segment, Adam, give me your story, man. I mean, you're just how old are you?
Sure, I'm 28.
28 years old, and you just became aware of this government thing because what? They came and visited you and went?
Well, because similar to Pete, it's the war on drugs, only it's the flip side of that coin. I'm a victim of the war on drugs. I'm a two-time felon for marijuana possession and trafficking. So that's what started me off. You know, I bought into the system and thought that I was wrong and all these things, and came to realize that these were voluntary interactions with people. There was no violence. There was no victim. And went through my progression there. You know, online, I'm fortunate enough to have that outlet, and found a bunch of people, continued my self-education, and like Pete, followed my logical conclusion, which ended up being finding Motorhome Diaries and starting my activism there and following through with Liberty on Tour now.
Tell me, how's it going? What are you proving to yourself? Because a lot of times, it's not even to prove it to other people. I've gone through this. I was you guys, you know, back in the day. And I'll tell you, I wasn't trying to prove anything to anybody. I was trying to just convince myself and then do all the box checking. You know, did you write your congressman? Did you contact your legislator? Did you run for office? Did you file suit? Did you write letter to the editor? Did you? Check, 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 check. After you get checked out, you're kind of going, hey, man, you know, I'm convinced. You know, I'm good. Then you can kind of, you know, share what you learned with other people. But what is it that you learned?
Man, I learned a lot. I mean, there's always it's always a learning experience, you know, liberty and the exercise thereof. But I mean, folks out there, there's the great movement with the young folks, and you know, even some of the elders who are out there taking a stand. You know, in New York City, we met Julian Heiklin, who is 78 years old, FIJA activist. You know,
fully informed jury.
Yep, right. Exactly, and just a great guy. You know, a lot of great stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the things that I've seen on this project so far, we've met some awesome hardcore activists. You know, a lot of them, as you said, came out of the Lovolution, the revolution, and have since learned from each other. I mean, I think that's what this is all about. The fact that the internet exists, that we can all learn from each other, just lowers our learning curves, and we're able to get out there and be more effective day one.
It is amazing how much, because peer-reviewed information, what really, you sift through all the garbage, and you'll go, yeah, here are the, of the 100 things, here are the 5 truths, and here's the best of those 5. And you watch that one thing, read that one thing, and you go, oh, thanks for sharing. Well, this is happening a lot across the country. We're going to talk about it more. And Ron Paul's Possible Run in 2012 in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Take it.
No, sir, no.
You must take it.
You cannot offer me this ring.
I'm giving it to you.
Don't tempt me, Frodo. I dare not take it. Not even to keep it safe. Understand, Frodo. I want to use this ring from a desire to do good. But through me, it would wield a power too great and terrible to imagine.
But it cannot stay in the Shire.
No. No, it can't.
Must I do?
Get it out of the Shire. That's what you do. Get the ring out of the Shire. Where's the Shire? I don't know where the heck I'm living. That's where the Shire is. And I'm going, you can say America, you know, it can be Arizona, it can be whatever, you know, the Shire, right here. You know, out. Don't need the ring. Get it out of there. Throw it in the fires of Mordor. You know, destroy the ring. And create all these rings. There's so many for the door, so many for the L, so many for man, so many for whatever. And then, oh, they always do that one ring to bind them all, and in the darkness, bind them. You know, they bring them all together. Well, that's exactly what's going on. As we talk to people about today, we had on in the first hour, Reese Ehrlich talking about the elections in Afghanistan. Elections of what? Bunch of tribe kind of what? I don't even know. I don't care. You know, they just say, hey, we had an election. This guy won. You'll sign the contract. Your oil is ours now. You know, yeah, how long is that going to last? They thought this would be a lot easier. Well, it's not. And we had Adrian Pine talking about what's going on in Honduras and how a military coup there is trying to suppress a people's revolt, peaceful concerts, petitions, begging, pleading. Oh, leave us alone. Well, she's saying that, you know, the concept of do we really want to have any government? Because they know they have another government. The 10 big families that are funded by America's war on some drugs, you know, they're just going to take it over again. So they're starting to come to the realization, you know, maybe we should just have none. Am I allowed to vote none? If I don't get to vote none, then what kind of choice is that? You know, whether I would vote none or not, it's not even the point. Maybe I go, okay, a little whatever, you know, maybe, you never know, maybe not. But, you know, the thing is, if I don't get to have an option of voting, nobody gets to rule me, then did I really have a choice? No. You get to choose your rulers this way. You get to choose your ruler that way. He gets to have a ruler with this. He gets to be, you know, well, he wasn't born in America. You're confusing me with someone who gives a crap that he was or not. You know, you get rid of Obama, and it's like looking down a train track, man. There's one right after another behind him. The concept is different, and it's changing, very fast with access to information, not on some mythology that somebody talking about, but some facts that's peer-reviewed amongst the people, among themselves, and giving examples. Liberty on Tour has been going city to city, and you have interactions with law enforcement all the time. Why? Are you guys, I mean, you look like semi-decent kind of, you know, not, you know, scummy kind of individuals. And you got a nice big RV. It's got all kinds of freedom stuff all over it. So I'm just wondering, Why are you guys always getting arrested? What is it that's the key point that gets you put in jail?
Well, I don't think we're ever like trying to get arrested. It just so happens that when you're covering forms of activism or people that are trying to stick it back to the man, unfortunately that attracts law enforcement officers. And, you know, like we stated earlier, they like to come up and say, give me your ID or shut that camera off. You know, two things that are just broad orders, not really even having any legal backing to them. And Pete and I are, you know, we like to ask them questions like, am I legally required to provide you my ID? Or
yeah, this gun says you are.
Well, right, and that's or they end up saying yes, and are like, well, can you state me the statute? You're an officer, you should know these things, and then they can't, and they get upset, and they arrest you. You know, all the things that the times that we run into law enforcement saying we've done something illegal, there's been no violence or no victims. So you know, again, they're harassing peaceful people.
All right. Tell me about Las Vegas. Now, this is the most recent altercation that you had, and just so we got enough time here, give me the Evelyn Wood version.
Sure.
For young people at speed reading. Yeah. Okay, so give me the fast version here.
Sure. So we were in Las Vegas for the last week before coming here to Phoenix, and we were covering a story on North Las Vegas Boulevard, and the owner wasn't around. The story kind of fell through, so we were in the RV debating what to do, go work or wait for the man to show up, and we got a knock on the door, you know, and there were two Metro Las Vegas police officers outside, and they wanted to know like what I was doing here and what. And I'm like, we're just parked, we're doing this story over here, etc. And then they informed me we were outside of a federal building, you know. And at that time,
how far outside of a federal building?
I don't know.
We were parked
200 yards, 100 yards.
Yeah, it was like a couple properties over. And we're you know, big advocates of property rights. So every time we park the RV, you know, we check to make sure we're okay to be there. There's no signs, tow zones, anything like that. We didn't see anything. This was a gravel parking lot, like across the alley from this the store that we went into to do the story. And yeah, these guys just showed up and started demanding our ID. And then they floated like, oh, you guys could be terrorists. And, you know, we were calm, cool, and collected and communicated.
Exactly.
Like, hey,
I had said to him at one point.
Well, you had this on videotape, too. I mean, of course, you guys know, all right, time to break out the videotape, you know.
Well, yeah, we've learned from experiences. And this time, Pete had his quick phone or the quick application on a smartphone ready to roll. And
okay, now let me explain that to the people so they understand. If you have a smartphone, you can go to Quick, QIK.com, and you download this application. My wife has it on her little BlackBerry, and all you do is you just push a button and it starts recording video and audio. You push the button again, boom, it puts it up on the internet. Now, if they take your phone from you and sever the connection, crack it, kick it, sledgehammer it, whatever, boom, it goes up.
Right. They put the evidence on the web for you.
Yeah, that exactly. Was very nice of them. Okay, so this is the kind of the technology that they're up against, and they just, I guess they haven't got up to, you're getting them up to speed, man. They're learning a lot. Well, so they're coming up to you, they're giving you a hassle. Pete's got recording this on his Quick, and then what?
And then, yeah, so I'm talking about the window, and after we established what the problem was, or I said, okay, guys, like you said, the parking is the issue. So, you know, I've given you my name voluntarily. I told you about this project, why we're in this location, justifying these things to you. By the big RV, you can see there's no reason that I'm probably lying. I'm probably telling the truth since there's a black and gold RV with huge Freedom's Phoenix stickers on the side out there.
That's why they came.
maybe. But so I said, if the issue is parking, we'll leave. Am I free to go? Can we move right now? And then they said no, that they wanted my license. And
now, you did tell them your name, though?
I did tell them my name.
Slacker. All right, go ahead.
You know, I felt it was whatever I had to do to get the situation under control at the time. So they said they wanted my ID then. And so I was like, am I legally required to provide this? You know, I would just like to move this and get rid of this parking situation. Back and forth, they call a sergeant, five more or six more cops show up, and now they're threatening to get us out of the RV, telling us they'll tow it with us in it, they'll rip the door off, and whatever, you know. And in the past, we've had our home, our RV, or MARV, broken into, property destroyed, cameras and properties taken from us. So in the middle of this project, yeah, we came out of the RV.
Yeah, so they kept asking Adam for the jacuzzi owner, and Adam was just saying, hey, like, I don't want to divulge. You know, he's just
that's not my information to give away, yeah.
Yeah, so then I was like, all right, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to go outside. Adam locked the door behind me. But then as soon as we exited the door, I mean, I felt nervous before when a police officer was following me. This was in Arlington, Virginia, but, like, this was another time. Like, these guys were, like, had this aggressive demeanor, and Adam and I were real calm. But I didn't know. We were like, hey, we're coming out. We're peacefully. We're not armed, you know. And these guys, like, right away, how many other people in there? We said, there's nobody else in there.
Surrounded the door.
Yeah, and I was like, you guys don't have consent to enter my home. And they pulled their guns and went in the RV anyway, and then came out. We were outside talking for like an hour in the hot sun, and again, right, just communicating to them, we have done nothing wrong. You guys are the ones using force today. You guys, and they kept trying to put it on us, and just like the guys in Denver. Like, if you guys just would have complied originally, none of this would have happened. And I was like, man, you guys are just like victim blaming. You guys are the ones using force.
And ultimately, because they're upset, I was charged with obstructing an officer, and when I was immediately brought outside
of the RV. Obstructing what?
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. I mean, and I asked them, because it took like an hour for the transport to arrive on scene to take me to jail. And during that time, Pete and I both had conversations with the officer there, and mine were more direct along the lines of, how did I obstruct an officer? I answered his questions, and I answered them, you know, he just didn't like the answers, and he didn't like that I wouldn't back him up with his continued fishing expedition. You know, we got to the problem, I wanted to solve the problem by moving, and they wanted to escalate it, and then after that, they wanted to teach me a lesson.
They want to teach you a lesson, you respect my authority. We got Eric Cartman's all over the place. We're going to talk about that more and what happened, and then what did the peoples do? We'll be with all that information back here on Declare Your Independence of Me, Ernest Hancock, Pete Iyer, and Adam Miller in just a little bit. We'll be right back.
Cool. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome to the jungle, baby! Yeah, it's all about being, able to protect yourself in the jungle. Because, man, there is a jungle full of bad guys, bad things. And what are we rocking and rolling and whatnot in support of? How about, just being left alone? And one of the best ways to do that is just to inform everybody of what's really going on. Well, Liberty on Tour, that's what it was about. I knew what was going to happen with this. I was like, oh, yeah, I want Freedom's Phoenix all over that thing. Yeah, we're going to, yeah, let him know, yeah, here he is. Well, what happens? Well, the man always comes up, oh, you got a Freedom thing on the side of your band, boy. You know, we'll show you how much freedom you got around him. So here they come. Well, they got, you know, and you guys are young. You're in your 20s, you know, looking kind of, you're not shaving every day. You know, you're just out on the road in the RV in the summer and it's hot. So a lot of times you got your shirts off, you know, showing off your pectorals and your shorts and flip-flops. So you're just kind of, hey, man, you know, we'd be chilling and all. And they're going, oh, man, you definitely look like you got some drugs in there. We need some drugs and guns. You're going to wait for a long time. We're getting this RV. You know, and that's one of the reasons. It's a money thing. They're going, ooh, we got some good here. Got some freedom and some young guys. There's got to be some drugs. Did they search Marv?
No, they just went in it to look for more people. I actually couldn't believe that they didn't. Normally, they do toss it and try to break our property and invade your home and privacy.
So you finally, after an hour or so, you're going, okay. So you exit the vehicle, the home, you lock it behind you, and you go out there and you say, hello, and then what happens?
Well, yeah, it was only 20 minutes, the conversation, the initial, but as soon as we came out, I had the quick cam, and I was immediately handcuffed. I don't know if it was because of the conversation before, because I had the camera, but either isn't a good reason, and I was being detained. So then about an hour after that of talking with these eight officers come to the Marv for two people, and they end up telling me that I'm under arrest. And at that time, I tell them, you know, I'm not going to resist, but I'm not going to assist you. I sent
you
to go pass.
Why
it.
You and not Pete? You're just prettier, uglier, what?
I don't know. I mean, like Pete had said, he stayed out of the conversation because they engaged me first. And when they started asking about the owner of the RV, and I said, that's not my information to give, he then stepped in and said, you know, I'm the owner of the RV, and that's when they were demanding us to come out or they'd break off the door. So
now you have all this on tape, right?
Yes, yeah, so I'm quick. Right. It's at libertyontour.com/Adams arrest. So,
So now they got you in handcuffs. You're standing there for an hour or whatever. You're waiting for transportation. You got eight officers. Was there any supervisor, a sergeant, or
yeah,
anybody?
There was a sergeant there. And, you know, so they're running Pete's name, they're running me, and then they're debating whether they're going to take me to jail. And then they informed me I was under arrest. So I told them that I wasn't going to assist in my kidnapping because I hadn't harmed anybody. I didn't obstruct an officer anyways. It just was purely because they didn't like my answers. And that's what I tried to drill to the sergeant. But I said, you have discretion. You can let me go. It's a $640 fine for obstructing an officer. officer. If I'm found guilty of that crime, I don't get sentenced to a single day in jail. But he said he was using discretion and felt I needed to go to jail.
So because I said no.
I mean, there was no legitimate reason for him to take me to jail. And when I informed them that I wasn't going to assist in my kidnapping, they then told me that they would code 5 me, which would be like this team that would come out and carry me around, and you know, I could get hurt doing that. And I asked them if they were
it's always threats with the government officials.
That's all right. It is.
So anyway, so you, they waited, they came, did they code 5 you? I mean, what
yeah,
happened?
When I got to the jail, there were about 8 people.
Well, how did they
outside.
Arrest you? Did they drag you by the ankles? What?
Yeah, two officers carried me and put me into the car. They pulled it closer, so they only had to take me about 5 steps. Because we were in a big parking lot that was empty. And so, yeah, when I get there, there's like 8 people standing outside, 1 EMT, 1 nurse, a bunch of CO, correction officers. And the nurse and them ask me if I'm okay or if I need medical attention. And I tell them I'm fine, that I shouldn't be here. And then the guys yank me out of the squad car. And they carry me into the jail. They put chains around my waist, but more like just below my rib cage, my mid-torso, with 2 handcuffs on the side. They handcuff my hands to those so that my elbows are bent. They then chain me to a bench, and that's where I sat for the next 5 hours.
5 hours, chain bench, because yeah, you didn't respect
conditioning,
their authority.
Yeah, jails are kept cooler than most places because it decreases the spread of disease. So I'm in shorts, flip-flops, and no shirt, so I'm freezing. And after 5 hours, they came up like, you ready to play ball? You know, we could do this the easy way or the hard way.
Play ball? What is play ball? Is there some boot they wanted you
to lick
or
something?
Well,
they wanted me to walk. They didn't want to have to carry me around and things like that. So, you know, at that point, I mean, they roughed me up a little bit. They really cranked on my shoulders, and the guy grabbed my neck on getting out. And when they had my leg shackled, he was pulling on that chain, and, like, they were twisting my wrist and my ankles, telling me how much easier it would be if I just walked.
Oh, don't
and,
you
and their
just
nice,
wanna...
nice tone.
Okay.
And I was saying, you know, you don't have to do this. You're physically hurting me. And I said, did you ask why I'm here? You know, these guys were never on the scene. They don't know why
I'm here. Because they can.
Exactly.
Okay. So they dragging around, hurting you, painting. Did you ever finally just start, okay, I made my point and I'm walking?
Well, it's kind of. I told a guy, I took a note from Ian Freeman over at Free Talk Live, where he had an incident with officials where he said, I'll do it if you ask me nicely. So, yeah, they used some force on me, and at that point I didn't want to push that button for them to use more on me. So I said, I'll cooperate or do what you want as long as you ask me nicely, because I'm a person. I'm not a dog. You have me chained to a bench here like I'm your property. And I said, and then the guy's like, well, I've just said nothing but nice to you. This was also a different person than the original shift. This is a second shift now in the jail. So, yeah, he said please and thank you. Sometimes I had to remind him, but I did it. But I walked slow, and I would tell him how I'm a peaceful person, and they should question why I'm here, you know, and that these shackles and these handcuffs, you know, isn't necessary, et cetera.
Okay,
et cetera.
So you're code 5. Accosted by him. About what time in the day did this start?
About 4 o'clock. It was like 2:30 or so when they showed up at the RV.
In the afternoon.
And it was about a little after 4 when I actually got into jail.
Okay, so 4 o'clock you're there. You're there till like 9 o'clock.
This is about 9, 9:30.
You're chained to a bench or whatever, yeah. Sitting there freezing your butt off. Then they take and moving you around and doing and shuffling and whatever.
Right, they take me to take a mugshot and a thumbprints, and then they put me in another holding cell. It took 5 minutes, not even.
Just thumbprint?
And they give you a shot.
Not yet, though. So they throw me in this holding cell.
Oh, they penetrated skin?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll get to that in just a little bit. Okay. So just a thumbprint?
Yeah, this is just the beginning. The system was so messed up, the process. But, yeah, so then I went in another cell for like 3.5 hours. Then they moved me for medical questions, which I tried to refuse. And I said, it's not relevant. I shouldn't be here. And so then they're like, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. The line I heard over and over all the time. And I said, more threats. But anyways, then they said I needed to get a TB test, which they lift up the skin and put a little bit of liquid. And if it turns a certain color in the morning, you have it. And if it doesn't, it just goes away.
They're injecting you with stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, they put something in your body.
Yeah, just above the skin. And I said, I don't want anything in my body. I don't know what it is. You know what I mean? I don't think I need this. You know, put me in isolation. But the guard standing there again said, you can do this the easy way or the hard way.
Okay, now wait. Time out. Okay. So there's no conviction of a crime. There hasn't, you know, nothing. And they're injecting a needle into your skin, putting something in it.
Yep. And they do.
They do that with everybody. A TB thing.
Everybody that comes in there. There was a man in
my
cell
for
jaywalking.
Are they really getting, you know, DNA samples? Are they really pulling something? Or is it just they're injecting something into you?
Yeah, they put a little bit of fluid into you to see if
you get TB. That needs to be followed up on. That's bad.
And there is nothing I could have done to get it. If I would have said no, I mean, I let them do it because I knew that they would have used excessive force on me to do it anyways. I mean, the man told me we do it the easy way or the hard way.
Oh,
but they're doing it.
Okay, okay.
Because I'm risking his job, because if I have TB...
No, I've gone through this. We had it with Shelton here, stomping on bare feet with boots and doing... I mean, we went through it and went to trial. And five charges totally dismissed before we even got to the defense part. In trial, Mark Vick, whipped him up, man. I wish this happened here. Right. I wish it didn't happen, but right. I wish it happened here. So then we go ahead and we're talking about you go through the process. They inject you with something. Golly. So then after that, what happened to you?
They throw me in another cell, a 10x6, built for six guys with 10 of us in there, four on the floor. We're in there for about another three and a half hours, and then they finally take the final two mug shots and the other four fingerprints and palm prints, and then get you dressed out into the orange jumpsuit, a thing, and send you in a general pop. That whole process took about 14 and a half hours. I was, like I said, I was arrested around 2-3 o'clock, and I got into general pop at around 8 in the morning. So
okay, so while he's sitting in there, what's Pete doing, man? You went to Starbucks? I mean, what?
Yeah, I went to a Starbucks, but it only out here we only found one that was open till 10. So after that, I called a friend in the area who let me park outside our house. So I plugged in there and continued to work. But essentially, we just worked to get the word out, let everybody know what's going on, feed everybody numbers. We had a call flood. I don't know how many calls they got at the jail and, you know, the judge's office and DA, wherever, but hundreds probably.
Twice jailers pulled me out to say, why am I so special, and that I should call my clan and tell them to quit calling because it's getting to harassment. And I said, well, if that's harassment, my friend's calling, what you're doing to me is torture. And I said, the simple solution to this would be to let me go, but... They were definitely being hurt by it.
Okay, so what you did is you put it out. You said, oh, guess what? Well, get ready. Here it goes. Adam's in jail again.
Right, yeah.
So here they go. All right, yeah. We've been through this before with you guys. So everybody's calling. You go do some research. Okay, what's the phone number for this precinct? What's the phone number for the judge that's presiding? What's the judge? You know, all the emails and everything. And then game on. And here we go. When we come back, we'll find out the impact of game freaking on. Here we go! Oh, you want to play? You want to play? I want to play. That's why I got free seats all over, Mark, because I want to play. Let me play, let me play, let me play, let me play. Well, if they're the ones getting arrested and I get to play, it's even better. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence and reward their behavior with some information to you. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Oh, Adam, he was on a mission. He's in Hooskow. You know, that's one thing. When you're sitting in there, all this is going on. You know, the guys around you, who were they? I mean, they're a bunch of drug-dealing, transvestite-hoeing Las Vegas and what?
Not even. There's two in there for drug possession, a few for driving without licenses, one for jaywalking, purely nonviolent, non-victim crimes, revenue-generating by Las Vegas. There's a huge problem there with it. I feel bad for all those people.
Oh, do we want to go to Las Vegas?
I'm considering a cop lock. Pete and I also contribute to copblock.org, a pro-police accountability website, but there definitely needs to be some cop locking in Las Vegas.
Copblock.org, yeah, we don't want to forget about that. And that's one thing that you know that what was going on. They start checking you out. They start going to all the different sites. They start seeing the stuff on the RV. I'm sure they took pictures, you know. They're going to take and they're going to all these different sites going, Freedom's Phoenix. They say, ooh, that's not good. We're going to be famous. Infamous. So then they start checking out, oh, cop block. These guys got cop block. They got oh, that's not good neither. Oh, then it's kind of this. Oh, the Lovelution thing. That's not. You know, we're not seeing any good here, okay? So what happened is Pete's putting this all out. Well, what were some of the things that people were doing to be able to communicate their displeasure?
Folks were emailing the jail, the judge. We could never get a good direct number for the judge. No one would give it to us, so we were just going through these phone trees and leaving messages wherever we could. Folks were emailing the mayor, telling them they're not going to come to Vegas to do business because of their behavior. Our buddy Dan Patrick found the Las Vegas PD has a Twitter account, so we were inundated in that with some messages. So all these things, you know, I think we're going to continue to do as well, and hopefully try to find some accountability for their actions.
Well, they have like a Facebook and Twitter and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they have a Twitter, but so the next day, so Adam was in jail overnight, and again, this is supposedly for like obstructing or interfering, and totally nonviolent. He didn't do anything wrong, but so he's held in jail overnight. So we were trying to figure out what we could best do. So the following day, we went down to the courthouse where a judge was going to review his paperwork. We couldn't get up there, but we like talked to some folks. Then we did a little protest outside, and I happened to have a coplock.org t-shirt on when we were there. And you know, pretty soon after we were there, a couple marshals and a Las Vegas PD officer came up and were telling us we couldn't be there, we couldn't do this, we couldn't do that. And so we were just like pushing back and stating our rights. And eventually, and they even asked me about the shirt. What's that about? You know, and I said, oh, it's just a cop, pro police accountability site. But anyway,
police accountability site. Sure. It's pro. Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, they ended up after we pushed back and stuff, and they were like huddled amongst themselves away from us at one point. And I went over and tried to talk to them and said, hey, do you guys think we're going to do anything illicit? I said, because, you know, if you guys do think we are doing something illicit, will you at least tell us and at least give us an opportunity to respond or move or do something? Because we've had a lot of experience when folks with badges just come at us aggressively and then just arrest us right at the spot. And they're like, oh, we would never do that. But eventually they turned around and they just left and they never came back. But they did, we think, send someone they worked with in plain clothes over to see like, oh, are you guys selling stuff, trying to hook us that way? You know, and we said, well, we take donations, and then they left, you know. But it was crazy. So we tried to do all these things. And then I went over to the jail, and the jail told me that, oh, yeah, the judge wants to see Adam tomorrow, saying that Adam had to stay in jail a whole nother night. So two nights for this, for doing nothing.
Right. So I had recently called Pete or after that, and he said, yeah, you're going to have to stay. And mind you, I could have been bailed out, but I don't want to give them any money, not to mention it's a bail bondsman state where you have to pay a bail bondsman and his fee.
Nah,
and then that's making a contract with him, and I'm pro-contract. So if I made an agreement with a private individual, I'd want to uphold that. But I wouldn't, you know, want to have to agree to come back for court and do all this other stuff with the state. So at that point, I said, whatever, you know, we'll ride it out, and hopefully, you know, people can get the word out. I know, like, already guards are coming to me saying, why are you so important? And you got to have these people stop calling. But it was very effective.
You got to have these people. What do they want you to do?
Yeah, like, I could call
and why
everybody.
Are you so important? What? How the heck? What did they know? What did they think? What was their... You said, I don't know, because I'm party.
Well, no, I told them. I said, maybe it's because you're using force and violence against a peaceful person and people don't agree with what you did. But they didn't want to divulge much information on why or what they knew or anything like that. Like I said, they were just real snippy and direct, and, you know, everything they said was backed by a threat.
You know, they always get the wrong guy, sooner or later. I mean, if you're hassling everybody, you always get the wrong. I got to tell you this story real quick. People in Los Angeles say, hey, we hear about this tubing down the salt thing, Arizona. They go, about eight of them come here, they tube down. And one of the girls of the eight, you know, lost something, they're arguing. So some deputy comes up, Maricopa County deputy, says, hey, you guys quit. You know, and one guy goes, eh, it's okay, they're fine, you know, don't worry about it. And then they're sitting there waiting, and the girls start arguing with each other or something later. And so this officer comes up and slams her up against, oh, you stupid bee. And this guy, hey, you don't have to do that. And he force pushes the guy in the chest, the officer did, puts him in the chest, knocks him back. Later, officer comes up. Is that the guy? Yeah, that's him. That's the guy that assaulted me. So they arrest him to go down, and they do name and occupation and all that. He goes, I'm a special agent with the FBI. Okay. Oh, so that's going on. Mark Victor's got that one. We're wringing our hands on that one. That's good. But what's a pièce de résistance? He was Hispanic. So we're just going to have us some fun. Well, the county attorney hadn't decided to press charges yet. They don't know what to do with this one. But my point is if they keep hassling everybody, sooner or later, they always hit the wrong guy.
Well, sooner or later, everybody's going to become the wrong guy because they're going to be so upset. I mean, every person I talked to inside of that correction facility, I don't know what they're correcting, but was upset. You know, I talked to people about Coplock, talking about Liberty on Tour, and they're like, I didn't know things like this were out there. You know, a camera, that's a great idea. You know, and people are upset to the point where they're going to start taking some actions, and everybody, or the majority of them, are going to be the wrong guys. They're going to be knowledgeable about their rights.
Yeah, no, you guys are blazing trail. So anyway, so you're in there, it's getting the morning, you know, he's thinking you're there for another day. He's like, you know, cool, I don't have to smell his stinky butt anyway. You know, I'm just gonna be chilling, and you know, I got the whole RV all to myself, and blogging and doing and drinking lattes, and we're one extra day in Las Vegas, and I'll go play casino. Is that what you were doing?
Nah, not so much. Just trying to coordinate folks, get the word out, and you know, update folks and keep the pressure on the man, you know, essentially let him know that it doesn't make sense that our friend's in jail. And the thing is like everybody that I'm sure Adam talked with or that I talk with is like, oh, I don't really know. I'm just doing my job. No one wants to be held accountable. And that's what it comes down to.
You know, that's one thing that I where did I see? It was on TV or something. They go, how you get people. Oh, I know. It was Naomi Wolf. She was in an interview and she was saying how you get people to do these kinds of things. You compartmentalize all their jobs. There's no one guy that takes you through the whole thing. You know, he just carries you from here to here. This guy carries you from here to here. This guy does the injection. This guy does the whatever. This guy could. And then all of a sudden they're getting all these calls. You know, what makes you so special? Well, did you know what the heck happened to me all this other time? Of course not. They compartmentalize the evil. So this is how this stuff happens. So it's only when you guys do this stuff that we learn what's really going on. So when did you ever get before a judge, or they just let you go?
No, essentially about an hour after my phone call with Pete, and I figured I'm riding it out for another night. I grabbed a book. About an hour into it, they said, Miller, roll it up and to pack up my things. And they took me out to the property room, gave me my stuff back, let me put on my shorts, my flip-flops. And they said, all right, you guys are leaving. And there's about eight of us. They put the other seven in one van, took me all by myself. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And they dropped
me. Yeah, I started worrying, man. I mean,
I was a little.
You know, it's like,
I mean,
if you're in Guatemala, man, you there's issues.
Right. And so they take me to downtown Las Vegas, right outside the Golden Nugget. And
but how far away from the jail?
I'm going to approximate, like, yeah, 4 or 5 miles.
Okay, 4 or 5 miles. They go down on the strip, and they just dump you in front of the Golden Nugget.
Yep, just throw me out. And they throw my property at me, hits me in the chest, drops on the ground. I'm like, I don't have a shirt on. I'm like, I have no money and no phone. I'm like, don't I get to make a phone call or something? Not my problem. Drive off. You know, and that was the end of my experience.
And they're hoping
them.
You're going to get picked up again.
Yes. I don't know.
Homeless guy out there bugging people for a phone call.
Yeah, and that's what I was doing. I had to ask people for a cell phone. Luckily, you know, about 10 minutes in, a lady let me use it. I called Pete, and I'm like,
well,
answer,
tell me
answer.
About this lady. Tell me, how old was she? What did she look
she
like?
About,
you got a
sure.
Young, scruffy-looking, not
tattooed
shaved,
up.
Tattooed, no shirt, shorts, flip-flop. May I use your phone? Oh, sure.
Yeah, well, yeah. One guy, actually, like 2 guys before this person, I seen him on his phone like a half a block away, so I started walking towards him. Then he got off his phone, like started to cross the street, and I'm like, sir, excuse me. He's like, no, thank you. And I'm like, I'm not a panhandler. I said, I was wrongfully arrested last night. They literally just threw me out on the curb. He's like, no. I'm like, I just want to use your phone. Nope. And just, like, I was
well,
the
I
plague.
Can understand. I'm
no,
not,
I can,
I'm,
no, me too.
I'm not concerned about him. It's amazing, this woman. Tell me
right.
about that. We're almost done with the show. Real
sure,
quick,
yeah.
I
this
hear
woman,
about
she's about 45, an Asian woman, looked like she worked in a kitchen, and she's like, yeah, absolutely, and, you know, no questions asked. I stood there, and I thanked her. I said, I wish I had something to give you, but, you know, I didn't even have, like, a card. I told her to check out Liberty on Tour, and, you know, so she didn't think I was scamming her, but she
so you got
nice.
Hold of Pete. I'm over here. Come get me. You drive over there again.
Oh, yeah. I had just sat down to start working again, and I got the call. I'm like, oh, I'm on my way, buddy, and I'm driving over there real quick. And,
yeah,
and
he even had a vitamin water. In a Cliff Bar, like an energy bar, because I don't eat when I'm in jail, because I don't want to punish taxpayers. They shouldn't have to feed me for some guy's mistake. So he knew I'd be hungry.
You guys are saints. Okay, so you get out, he's got you, and what were the charges?
Well, that's just it. When I went to get my property, I said, so who bailed me out or what's going on? Because if I was getting bailed out, I wanted to stay. And he said, nope, the DA dropped your charges, no court date, no nothing. You're just free to go. And I said, what about the men who assaulted me and, you know, brought me here and wrongfully arrested me? You know, he said, same line. I'm just doing my job. They told me to cut you loose. I cut you loose. That's that.
For questioning the man.
Exactly.
This is just not an isolated incident. This is how anybody's treated, how you've been treated across the country. What is your idea? So this is why we called local Phoenix police here. In fact, today I left a message for Sheriff Arpaio to call me, and he probably will, but he's got his own problems going on right now. He's got some bad press going on. He might not. But so I talked to Phoenix police. I said, look, don't be asking these guys for ID or to put the camera down. That's all you got to do, man. Everything's good. You'd be heroes here in Arizona. Well, you guys are going to be here a week, and I know it's going to come up. And we're going to have some fun. Hopefully, we can just show that our rights are protected here in Phoenix. You know, can we do that? Let's do that. We'll make it an effort. We're giving them more. And we're going to try and, you know, just make sure these guys have a good time. Go to the lake, chill, do some activism, and get a deserved break. That's what they need. And that's what we're going to give them here on Declare Your Independence here on FreedomsPhoenix.com. Go to LibertyOnTour.com or CopBlock.org. Oh, you'll see what made them so special. We'll see you tomorrow on Declare Your Independence.